Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear the biggest hit by the very first group to place four singles from their debut album into the top 10. And no, that group was not the Beatles, Supremes, Beach Boys, or the Monkees. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will appreciate a recording by a jazz saxophonist that gave inspiration to one of the greatest songwriters of all time. Later, we will present a recording that included instrumentation that shocked the psychedelic fan base of a Los Angeles-based group, but still reached number 1 on one of the three major charts. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we examine a pop single from the 80s co-written by the assistant editor of the British music magazine Smash Hits. After the release of this single on Columbia Records was basically a failure, this persistent musician and writer re-recorded it with a different producer for EMI and ended up with an award for Song of the Decade by the British Academy of Composers and Songwriters. But first, just as we do each week, we crack our first smile with a single that, at some point, was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and then were turned inside out. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we thank our lucky stars with a track by an artist whose career began with a contract that was offered by a record company owned by a group that at one time had singles on four different labels in the top 5 of the Billboard charts. While this song craftsman didn't quite reach that feat, he was on the album charts with four different record labels in 7 years. Those labels included Apple, Warner Brothers, Columbia, and, with this catchy single, as part of the soundtrack to the movie FM, MCA Records.
Whenever I see your smiling face, I have to smile myself, because I love you, yes I do. And when you give me that pretty little pout, it turns me inside out. There's something about you, baby, I don't know. Isn't it amazing a man like me can feel this way? Tell me how much longer, it will grow stronger every day. Oh, how much longer? I thought I was in love a couple of times before with the girl next door, but that was long before I met you. Now I'm sure that I won't forget you. And I thank my lucky stars that you are who you are, just another lovely lady sent down to break my heart. Isn't it amazing a man like me can feel this way? Tell me how much longer, it can grow stronger every day. Yeah. How much longer? Whenever I see you smile at me, no one can tell me that I'm doing wrong today. Whenever I see your smiling face my way, no one can tell me that I'm doing wrong today. No one can tell me that.
Spending a week at number 40 on its way up to number 20 in Billboard, number 12 in Cashbox, and number 4 in Canada. That was former Apple Records artist James Taylor and the song that appeared on the FM soundtrack released by MCA, Your Smiling Face, a recording that featured a string arrangement by David Campbell. You may remember that David Campbell was the same arranger that worked on our modern and great track last week, Hemorrhage by Fuel, and who also in the past did string arrangements for Bob Dylan.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 20.
20.
And speaking of Bob Dylan, at number 20 we have a song written by Bob Dylan, but given a country rock treatment by a West Coast outfit that began in the circles of the Grateful Dead. The New Riders of the Purple Sage formed in 1969 and, during the band's early incarnation, included Mickey Hart and Phil Lesh of the Dead as part-time members. The New Riders issued a number of albums that sold well to the group's core audience and performed modestly and consistently on the charts. By the time they recorded their album Brujo, they selected this Dylan cover and ended up getting radio play on stations such as KOME San Jose, WLIR Long Island, and the famous pirate station that adopted another one of their songs as their theme song, Radio Caroline.
You angel, you, you got me under your wing. The way you walk and the way you talk, I feel like I can almost sing.
Should have reached number 20 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World. Those were the New Riders of the Purple Sage and their version of the Bob Dylan song, You Angel You.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 11, we have the most successful single by the group that became the first to score four top 10 hit singles from their debut album. If one were to make a quick guess as to the identity of that group, then several classic groups from the 60s might come to mind. But, as I mentioned a moment ago, this chart feat was not achieved by the Beatles, the Supremes, the Beach Boys, or the Monkees. Nor was it achieved by three groups from the 70s who had amazingly successful debut LPs, the Jackson 5, Boston, or the Cars. So what group actually pulled this off, and when did they do it? Well, several months ago we featured the track Domino Dancing by the Pet Shop Boys and, in the process, discussed some of the production techniques used by producer Louis Martinet in the layering of the synthesizers that dominated that track. Our number 11 today is another synthesizer-driven song produced by Lewis, and he also wrote it. And for the debut album by this particular act, he wrote and produced four different songs that reached the top 10 when released as singles. Recorded in Miami and featuring the lead vocal of Jeanette Jurado, here is Exposé and their fourth top 10 from their debut album Exposure, their signature song that hit number one across the board, Seasons Change.
Some dreams are in the nighttime.
like yesterday, but leaves turn brown and fade. Ships sail away. You long to say a thousand words, but seasons change. It feels like it's forever. No reason for emptiness, but time just runs away.
Jeanette Girado, Joya Bruno, and Anne Curless, known collectively as Exposé, and their hit on Arista Records, Seasons Change, a track written and produced by Louis Martinet, featuring the saxophone solo of UG Groove. We started today's countdown with a solo artist raised on the East Coast, followed by a country rock band from the West Coast. Then, with a group from Miami, we were back to the East Coast. Now at number 10, we are back to a group from the West Coast. The band Translator was part of the indie label 415 Records, a San Francisco-based record company named for both the San Francisco area code and the California criminal statute for disturbing the peace. After a shaky start, 415 focused on punk and new wave and featured releases produced by David Kahn. While this particular song by Translator received lots of college radio play and was given rotation during a brief moment on MTV, it never made any top 40 of any kind. We certainly believe that it should have reached the top 10 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World, as well as in England, Canada, and Australia. Here is the San Francisco-based group Translator and a song that will literally stay in your head for the rest of the day, Everywhere That I'm Not.
I thought I saw you out on the avenue, but I guess it was just just someone who looked a lot like I remember you do. 'Cause I thought I heard your voice in a bar making a choice. But no, it was just someone who sounded a lot like I remember you do. 'Cause that's impossible, that's him. That's impossible, that's him. Impossible, that's impossible. 'Cause you're in New York, but I'm not. You're in Tokyo, but I'm not. You're in Nova Scotia, but I'm not. Yeah, you're everywhere, but I'm not. Yeah, you're everywhere, but I'm not. I'm not, I'm not, I'm not. I thought I felt your touch in my car on my clutch. But I guess it was just someone who felt a lot like I remember you do. 'Cause that's impossible, that's him. That's impossible, that's impossible. That's impossible, that's impossible. 'Cause you're in New York, but I'm not. You're in Tokyo, but I'm not. You're in Nova Scotia, but I'm not. Yeah, you're everywhere, but I'm not. Yeah, you're everywhere, but I'm not. Yeah, you're everywhere, but I'm not. I'm not, I'm not, I'm not. A lot like I remember you do. I thought I felt your touch in my car, but no such luck. No, it was just someone who felt a lot like I remember you do. 'Cause that's impossible, that's him. That's impossible, that's impossible. That's impossible, that's impossible. 'Cause you're in New York, but I'm. You're in Tokyo, but I'm not. You're in Nova Scotia, but I'm not. Yeah, you're everywhere, but I'm not. Yeah, you're everywhere, but I'm not. Yeah, you're everywhere.
With a single released on 415 Records and distributed by CBS, that was Translator and Everywhere That I'm Not, which certainly should have, at the very least, reached the top 10.
Number nine.
At number nine, we are back to that complex recording unit that we have profiled twice before. Their previous appearances featured the same songwriters, the same producer, and the same musicians backing different lead singers. Today, we have another track by that same ensemble behind the vocalist that ultimately became the most identifiable lead singer of their songs, Eric Wolfson, the longtime collaborator with Alan Parsons.
Before, and I ain't gonna take any more. Believe me, the sun is.
week at number 9 on the Billboard charts, on its way up to a peak of number 3 in the United States and number 1 in Canada and Spain. That was the Alan Parsons Project with Eye in the Sky from the platinum album of the same name that ultimately won a Grammy for Best Immersive Audio Album.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
Auden and Gray should have reached number 8.
Now we are up to a song that is modern and great and should have reached number 8. It is by a rather large group put together by the former frontman of the modern rock act Tripping Daisy, Tim DeLauder. After the accidental overdose of Tripping Daisy guitarist Wes Berggren, DeLauder assembled a modern rock and alternative choir called the Polyphonic Spree, which featured numerous vocalists and numerous instrumentalists. On this particular track from 2007, the vocals were handled by DeLauder himself, along with a group of backing vocalists that included Jessica Jordan and Jenny Kirtland. On guitar was Annie Clark, the talented Grammy-winning musician that is currently experiencing a run of popularity using the stage name Saint Vincent. And great, and should have reached number 8. That was the Polyphonic Spree featuring Tim DeLauder, Jessica Jordan, and Annie Clark, better known today as Saint Vincent.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7. Today's selection features a celebrated jazz saxophonist that did a little bit of everything during his 72 years, from serving in the military to marrying the amazing vocalist that duetted with Mick Jagger on the Rolling Stones classic Gimme Shelter. Curtis Amey was born on October 11, 1929, in Houston. He became proficient first on the clarinet and, later, while serving in the U.S. Army, discovered that he was a natural on the tenor sax. After being discharged from the military, Curtis graduated from Kentucky State College and began his career in Tennessee as a teacher. While keeping his day job, he began performing at night in jazz clubs. While still in his mid-20s, he moved to Los Angeles and landed a deal with Pacific Jazz Records. With Pacific Jazz, he sometimes recorded solo, sometimes with organist Paul Bryant, and, with a flexible contract, often as a sideman for artists such as Dizzy Gillespie and Gerald Wilson. After recording and performing with Paul Bryant, Curtis became Ray Charles' music director, which led to session work in genres outside of jazz. During this period, he played sessions with Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell, Smokey Robinson, and other major artists of the 60s. In 1970, he married Mary Clayton, the gifted vocalist that sang on Ringo Starr's Oh My My, and most notably performed the spine-chilling female vocals on the Rolling Stones classic that we will certainly play on this show in the future, Gimme Shelter. Music fans will also recall that Mary appeared in the Academy Award-winning documentary 20 Feet from Stardom. Shortly after Curtis and Mary got married, Curtis played saxophone, flute, and scored a string quartet for one of the most successful albums of all time, Tapestry by Carole King. Curtis continued to play sessions and do instrumental work up until his death at age 72 in Los Angeles. Today's Little Slice of Heaven comes from the LP Meetin' Here, one of his standout albums with Paul Bryant on the Pacific Jazz label. With our Little Slice of Heaven at number 7, that was saxophonist Curtis Amy, along with organist Paul Bryant, and their 1961 instrumental classic recorded at Pacific Jazz Studios in Hollywood, One More Ham Hock, Please. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Manfred from the Philippines heard our 6070 kilohertz broadcast by way of a web SDR from the Netherlands. He reports 45343 and remarks that he liked the nice selection of songs that you don't hear every day. Well, Manfred, we certainly appreciate that you have found us, and your information is quite helpful. We send our best regards and hope you hear other music you enjoy on shortwave. Tori from Sweden caught our broadcast on his Drake R7 receiver with 80-meter L antenna. He reports 35333 with moderate signal strength and some atmospheric noise and fading. Within his report, he thanked us for playing good music. Well, Tori, we certainly appreciate you, and we will strive to continue to play the kind of music that makes you happy. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album charts. Prior to twice hitting number 1 on the singles charts in the United States, our group at number 6 had the reputation as an album act, releasing 8 albums before finally hitting number 1 on the album charts the 9th time around. For their 7th album, You Can Tune a Piano But You Can't Tune a Fish, Midwestern rockers REO Speedwagon used 3 recording studios, with members Kevin Cronin and Gary Richrath co-producing the sessions with John Boylan and Paul Grupp. Their unique method certainly paid off, with the album reaching the top 30 on the album charts and being enough of a steady seller to go double platinum with 2 million sales. One of the songs that propelled those sales was the album track Roll With The Changes. Even though it stalled out on the singles chart at number 58, it certainly seemed like it was a hit record, receiving airplay when the album came out and still receiving spins today on classic rock stations.
As soon as you are able, I'll be here.
with our bonus hit at number 6. That was REO Speedwagon and Roll With The Changes from the double platinum album on Epic Records that was included in the New Musical Express list of the 50 worst album titles of all time. You can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish. My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 5, we have yet another track from one of the greatest albums made during the mid-80s. On previous episodes, I have played 4 selections from this album, and within the next year or so, we'll likely play all of the remaining tracks. Some albums are just simply that superlative. This time around, we have the title track from the album, Thin Disguise, by Good Question. Like the other tracks on the album, it was written by Van Duren, who is also the lead singer on the track. But if you listen carefully, there is also a female vocal in the track. That voice belongs to the amazingly talented Suzanne Jerome Taylor, the lead singer of both The Breaks and Drama, two groups that you will recall from previous episodes. With a song that sounded every bit as good live as it did in this studio version, here is Good Question.
We spent the first weeks ignoring the obvious, avoiding the subject, hiding the truth. I've spent my whole life shy but still curious. If all this love never dies, stuff could ever be in the thin disguise of a love song. I'm reaching across to her again, and she's so surprised with the way we feel tonight, and I am. Questions and answers fall in a pile. Then I'm waking to a day I can see her. A dream becomes alive and will always be in the thin disguise of
number 5 with the title track of the album produced in Memphis by Don Smith and the ever-present Jack Holder and mastered by Larry Nix. That was Good Question and Thin Disguise.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number
4.
Now we are up to number 4, which usually means that we are going to play a song that charted considerably better in England than it did in the United States. Today's selection, however, charted far better in Germany than it did in the United States. In the late 70s and early 80s, producer Bobby Orlando was based in New York at the helm for disco recordings for studio projects known as Free Expression and Divine. Not wanting to limit himself to just one format, Bobby branched out into New Wave, producing recordings for The Now and Barbie and the Kens. After producing several more projects for mid-sized labels, he wrote the song Jukebox and assembled the personnel that would become the group known as The Flirts. He produced the sessions himself and found distribution worldwide for the single. His instincts were correct because the song did catch on. It went all the way up to number 4 in Germany, a considerably better showing than its number 28 peak on the U.S. dance charts. Number 4 with Jukebox, their top 5 German hit produced by Bobby Orlando, those were The Flirts, consisting of Andrea Del Conte, Sandra DeKey, Hope Drayman, Rebecca Sullivan, and Holly Kerr.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we're up to our 3 from way downtown, and today we're talking about downtown Venice Beach, California. While the beach itself is obviously not a downtown area, Venice Beach was the original meeting place of the 2 UCLA film school students that would soon become rock legends, Jim Morrison and Ray Manzarek. When those two added John Densmore and Robbie Krieger, the Doors were formed. After experiencing immediate success and hitting number 1 with tracks from their first and third albums, the Doors experimented with a different type of sound for their fourth album, The Soft Parade. For example, on the Robbie Krieger song Touch Me, they put together a horn section with the signature saxophone solo being played by none other than the artist who served up our little slice of heaven at number 7, Curtis Amey. With a sound that was not nearly as psychedelic as some of their previous material, the group endured scathing reviews from publications such as Rolling Stone, The Village Voice, Northwest Passage, and The East Village Other. Nevertheless, the record-buying public didn't seem to mind, sending this song to number 1 in Cashbox and number 3 in Billboard.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, now touch me, babe.
With our three from way downtown, those were the Doors getting a little help from saxophone legend Curtis Amy on their million-selling single on Elektra Records, Touch Me.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Number 2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means that we are going to play a song that we believe should have reached number 1. And, like the single we just played, this track actually hit number 1 in Cashbox, but did not in Billboard. We think it should have reached number 1 across the board. It is yet another catchy melodic selection written by the astonishing Carole King. And who inspired her to write this song? None other than the saxophonist we just heard at number 3, and also back at number 7, Curtis Amy.
Lift me, won't you lift me above the old routine? Make it nice, lay it clean, jazz man. When the jazz
At number two, which did in fact reach number one in Cashbox, that was Carole King and her tribute to saxophone genius Curtis Amy, Jazzman. Incidentally, the saxophone in Carole's record was played by Tom Scott, the same Tom Scott that turned in the legendary solo on the number one single Photograph by Ringo Starr. Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number one. It is the signature song by a duo that was founded by the assistant editor of a British music magazine. That magazine was Smash Hits, and the editor was Neil Tennant. Neil's duo recorded first with the producer we heard back at number four, Bobby Orlando. Later, they had a worldwide hit with the producer we heard back at number 11, Louis Martinet. But the song that we are playing today at number one is a re-recording of the duo's first single on the Columbia-distributed Bobcat label, which was produced by Bobby Orlando. Although that first single achieved dance club play, it never really took off on the record charts. When they were given the opportunity to record with producer Stephen Haig and release a new version of the same song on EMI Records, they jumped at the chance. While parts of the track are the same as the original, there is a noticeable slickness about Stephen Haig's production which helped the song achieve number one positions all across the world. This record captures perfectly that moment when synthesizer music went from being the province of the new wave underground and transformed itself into the driving force of popular music, at least for a while. The British Academy of Composers and Songwriters certainly thought so, awarding the duo with the highly coveted honor of Song of the Decade for this synthesizer classic.
Sometimes you're better off dead. There's a gun in your hand that's pointing at your head. You think you're mad, too unstable, kicking in chairs and knocking down tables in a restaurant in a West End town. Call the police, there's a madman around, running down underground to a dive bar in a West End town.
In a West End town, a dead end world, the East End boys and West End girls. In a West End town, a dead end world, the East End boys and West End girls.
West End girls. Too many shadows, whispering voices, faces on posters, too many choices. If, when, why, what, how much have you got? Have you got it? Do you get it? If so, how often? Which do you choose?
Featuring keyboardist Chris Lowe and vocalist and former pop music critic Neil Tennant, who has, for years, heard that his voice sounds very much like Al Stewart's. Those were the Pet Shop Boys with our Hall of Perfection track at number one, West End Girls. That's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email address to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.